How many of you got up this morning and read something out of Joshua? Well, you're going to hear something from Joshua. Remember, Joshua was that in the movie, the real good-looking guy, you know, had the lady friend, and Joshua was sort of the right-hand person for Moses. And we know that Moses was the one who freed the Israelites from, with God's help, of course, from Egypt, and led them through the wilderness for 40 years, right up to the Jordan, which they were destined to cross into their new land. And then God said, wait a minute, Moses, you can't go. Joshua was the one who took over and led them into the promised land. So this is from the book of Joshua, chapter 24. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. Joshua said to all the people, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, now therefore revere the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your ancestors served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Now, if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors served in this region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our ancestors up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight. He protected us along all the way that we went, and among all the peoples through whom we passed, and the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God. May God add blessing to the reading of the word. So Joshua takes over for Moses, and he leads the Israelites into Canaan, which is a foreign place full of all kinds of different people. And these different people worshiped different gods. Earlier in the book of Joshua, just prior to the lesson that I read for you, Joshua reminded the people of all the things that God had done for them. But now they must choose to serve the gods of the people that they met along their way in the wilderness, or the people from their ancestors, the gods of their ancestors, or to serve the Lord who freed them from slavery and brought them to a new home. The following passage after the one that I read to you, Joshua warns the people that God is a jealous God and will not let them turn to other gods without punishment. So the people again pledge themselves to the Lord. I need to draw a little distinction here between worship and serve. The lesson says that we will serve the Lord. In Hebrew, the word is abad, meaning to serve, but it is very closely tied to the concept of worship. Worship and service. And service, they're almost interchangeable. In the Greek, the word is diakoneo, from which we get the word diaconate, right? And it means to minister to people, to serve people. And latreo means to serve God. So service and worship are not the same thing, especially for we New Testament people. So we might think about who are the other gods that we kind of tend to serve or worship in the Old Testament sense. Who is it that we tend to lift up to be extraordinary. Those people or things that we tend to put a whole lot of energy, and especially to lift up people who put their pants on one leg at a time, just like we do. How about sports figures? We pay them gazillions of dollars, and we worship them in modern cathedrals named Chase Field, University of Phoenix Stadium. We go there for our, especially during the season, weekly rituals. Not long ago, you may remember that Randy Johnson, the pitcher for the Diamondbacks, entered the Hall of Fame, and they retired his number in the Diamondbacks team. There was a story that someone suggested that we rename the what was formerly the Squaw Peak Freeway, then became the Lori Paestua Freeway, that we rename that freeway the Randy Johnson Freeway. In other words, take it away from being named for the first Native American woman to be killed in battle and rename it Randy Johnson Freeway. So take it from a real hero and give it to a sports hero. I was gratified that that went nowhere. And I think maybe even Randy Johnson would have said, no way. But we do tend to worship sports heroes, one of those gods in our culture that we worship. We also worship the wealthy, sometimes assuming that growing rich makes you somehow a better human being, that and you become worthy of praise and adoration because you are rich. We glorify movie stars and celebrities, thinking that fame equals success. Then there are the beautiful and the handsome that are also a cut above the rest of us. I'm not so sure we worship people as much as we worship things. We can worship football, we can worship baseball, or we can worship the idols that come from those. And these are all gods of our imagination, I think. People that we wish we could be ourselves. We wish we could be wealthy. We wish, I dreamed I would be a pro baseball player. All of us, I would venture to say, had dreams like this. And we tended to idolize people in our childhood and in our adulthood too. I'd like to sing like Luciano Pavarotti, or play the piano like Van Cliburn, but I guess that may be for another life. More powerful on us than these people that we may idolize, these gods of our imagination, are the gods of our heart. Those desires that we have so much trouble letting go of, those desires that we tend to worship and somehow hold up as untouchable. How about worshiping the past? Remembering the past is good. Worshiping the past isn't. It's not good for us. Worshiping the past takes us prisoner, keeps us from moving on into what is inevitable, and that is the future. And believe it or not, the future is not all bad. On my vacation last week, I visited my aunt and uncle. I have to tell you, my father's brother married my mother's sister. Got that? Okay, so I have double cousins. So I guess we all come from the same gene pool, right? Well, when I see my uncle and my aunt, I see my mother and father, who are now deceased. And they were the younger, there were three boys and three girls, and two of them married each other like that. And so they're the last of that generation in our family. And Dick is 91, and Winnie's about 89. Dick worshipped and still worships his World War II experience as a Marine. Now, my dad was a very proud Marine also, but he didn't worship it like my uncle does. And he lives really in the past. He lives in that past, which was 70 years ago, by the way. And he thinks that America, ever since World War II, has just gone right down the sewer. And so he hasn't moved on very much. That, I think, is worshiping the past. Then there's worshiping tradition. Tradition is different from the past, but worshiping it can be just as debilitating. Ever heard this phrase? We have always done it that way. We hear that in the church all the time. We've always done it that way. And what I hear, I'm starting to hear more and more is, well, that's the way Len did it. If we follow tradition, all of you women without a hat, you have to leave. I don't see anybody getting up. Phyllis has a hat. Anybody else with a hat? That was tradition. The women wore hats to church and white gloves, too. Do you remember that? Yeah, that was tradition. And if we worship tradition, then we don't grow a whole lot either. Like the past, tradition is not a bad thing. But worshiping tradition can be. Like it or not, the world is changing faster than it ever has. And we can choose to fight it, or we can somehow choose to live with it, maybe even embrace some of it. Drawing a line in the sand about the past or our traditions can be done, but it must be done cautiously, lest we find ourselves left in the dust. Our God of the heart may be at times a person, too, a mentor, someone we idolize above reality, but someone who, like us, has feet of clay. Those gods can disappoint us by letting us down or turning on us a little or maybe by just plain leaving. The choice Joshua gave his people is the same choice we have, to serve gods that leave us unfulfilled and, like in my uncle's case, grumpy, or a God who is still speaking, a God that wants us to grow into the future, and a God that is always making new things. To serve such a God is not only to hold God up to worship and glorify, but a God to be a servant for and to. Yes, God is still speaking, still creating, still teaching. How wonderful is that? God continues to speak through our scriptures and through the words of poets and novelists and playwrights and, yes, even other faith traditions. When I was in college, I went to Chapman College in Orange, California, which is now Chapman University. And one semester I had courses where I only needed two books, the Bible and the complete works of Shakespeare. And so I went around all semester with just those two books. I figured I had pretty well had it covered there for wisdom between the Bible and Shakespeare. So much richness beyond the scriptures. God wants us to grow into the future. Our Old Testament and New Testament scriptures speak through the prophets, the gospel writers, the apostles, and Jesus himself, that God is bringing about a new thing and that all things are passing away. God wants faithful, not rigid, servants, flexible, imaginative, and creative. Those kinds of servants to serve a changing world. And what is this new thing that the scriptures speak of? Well, to sound way too corny, God only knows. Consider the changes you've experienced in your life for a moment. What has changed in the world in your lifetime? Now, consider what will change in the lifetimes of your grand and great-grandchildren. God is doing a new thing, and we don't know what it is. It is the uncertainty of the future that makes possible this new thing that God is doing. But we, sisters and brothers, are people who walk in faith. Like the Israelites in our lesson, we know what God has done for us. And we know Jesus' call to be servants for God and to one another. Paul reminds us, if God is for us, who or what can be against us? We can and will weather the changes before us. The grief of losing a beloved pastor. The uncertainty of what our next pastor will be like. The anxiety that comes with new ways of thinking and behaving, things that we would never have considered for ourselves. All of this is a grief process. We, in this transition time in our church, it's a grief process. Grieving people, grieving changes, grieving the future. And it's okay. It's part of this transition time for us. It's okay to grieve. It's healthy to grieve, as long as you recognize it and know that we will work through it. So let us live in these changing yet exciting times with the words of Psalm 46 echoing in our hearts. God is speaking and says, "Be still and know that I am God. I am lifted up in the nations. I am lifted up in the earth." And the psalmist assures us, the Lord of hosts is with us, and the God of Jacob is our refuge. Amen.